call the Congressional Affairs Committee back to order. The time is 11:36. I think we're scheduled to go to 11, and my hope is we get out of here, I mean, till 1. My hope is we get done way before that, and we will. Next item on the agenda is audiovisual updates to the chambers, and Congressman Potts.
Can I make a motion to discuss item number 13 in advance of item number 12?
Kind of go hand in hand.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
I will, and where's the notes from yesterday that I took? Let's go with the audiovisual first. And again, I always go back to what Congressman Mason says. We're the Congress. This is our house. Well, we need to upgrade our audiovisual, probably more on the audio side than anything else, because it's ridiculous. I remember my first term sitting here, and they had a microphone in a cup to make it.
Hey, that worked.
So you could, it worked, but.
We still do it.
We're the Osage Nation Congress, and that's unacceptable to me. And I know it's unacceptable to you all. We have business to conduct here. We have constituents that listen online, constituents that view us online, and we're sitting here with a microphone in a cup. We're sitting here with horrible reception. We have not done the best job. So I know there's a company that Congresswoman Edwards has found that can come in here, assess the problem, and get us up to speed, in my opinion, from where we need to be. And you can see things on television where you have the chambers and the Senate, and people have microphones right here. That may be something that we have to look at. I mean, but what's happening now, and just in my opinion, isn't working. And I want to upgrade that. And I want us to be professional. And I want us to be heard out there among the people that are listening. We owe that to them. And when you can't hear, and we're going to get into some other things that I feel need to be conducted at this table, but to be able to have a first-class audio visual for us here is, we need to get that done. So I'll open it up for discussion. Congressman Potts.
Withdraw my motion so you can have that.
Thank you.
I agree. It's embarrassing.
It is.
Something has to be done. We were on the verge of getting something done a year ago, year and a half ago. The issue has been and remains, what are we going to do and where? We were ready to pull the trigger on, I believe, a contract to renovate the old congressional chambers, and then we found black mold. So ball got dropped. We are nowhere. Mm-hmm. This was to be a temporary location. Now it's our permanent location. Maybe it's our permanent location. That's been put back up in the air, which is why I wanted to discuss item number 13 before we discuss 12. Because if this is not the congressional chamber, if this is not where we're going to be, then I'm not for spending money to upgrade our audiovisual technology. Because what we need is something that is permanent, that is built in, because we have great equipment. I mean, this thing works. WebEx works. The problem is that we have to wheel the WebEx thing out of the office on a dolly, and this thing plugs in halfway here, and it plugs into the sound system back here. You need a permanent structure to be able to have quality audiovisual equipment. So if this is not going to be our home, then we need to decide where is going to be our home, and then the renovations need to be made there. And second, I don't believe that this is something that can be done with a company that somebody found. If I recall correctly, the company that we had to do the renovations of the old congressional chambers, what we were looking at was nearly a $40,000 expense. That's to get the microphones in front of you, to have audiovisual equipment where people can communicate electronically, can WebEx in or FaceTime in, whatever you'd like to call it, Skype in.
Our screen was gonna be.
It's an expense, and that's why I'm not for making that expense to somewhere that could be temporary where we're gonna have to move in 2 months. So I agree, it's embarrassing. It's bad, it's been bad for years, but this is the hand we've been dealt. Is this where we're gonna be? that's the discussion that I think we need to have first.
Committee.
Question.
Congressman Big Horse.
Mr. Chair, maybe Congressman Mason might know, was there not a congressional chamber in the master campus plan?
There is.
But we are just, we're just stuck because of lack of funds maybe, or we're just not?
Yeah. To my knowledge and response in that 25-year plan that came up, there was three phases. There's phase one, phase two, phase three. The congressional chambers were in a building that was supposed to show up on phase three. The other phase one had a certain amount of people or departments in phase one, certain amount in phase two that were to be built, and in phase three, another building to be built, and that's where the congressional chambers were supposed to be. I don't know what happened to that tail end of that 25-year plan. A whole lot of things happened in the first 3 years in that plan that were accomplished, and many that were not, according to the plan. It seems to pop out every once in a while that we're going to follow this 25-year plan. And I says, well, where was that 2 years ago? We didn't even talk about it then. But anyways, we're back to that, and it was an approved 25-year something. My concern was that I may not ever make it to that 25-year end. You know? But there would be others that would, you know, and that's the part that, like Congressman Potts said, you know, here we are. Is this our home or is this a temporary home? If it's not our real home here, then we'll have to live with some temporary stuff until we get a real home or a real place. But to answer your question, we did appear in that. And you look back at that plan, I still have those booklets from back there that we appeared in that overall scheme of things back there. But we weren't until the tail end of things.
Just a question, Congressman Mason. What phase are we on in the 25-year plan?
Probably 1.2.
1.2. And we're scheduled for the third phase. So, okay, Congressman Potts.
In reviewing some of that with congressional staff on the last time we tried to answer this question, I think part of phase three got built before phase one, mm-hmm. and then phase two got pushed back to behind phase three, and now we've got some new projects that are up on the hill that were not in phase one, two, or three.
Correct.
And now you have planned projects that were not envisioned in phase five. So, to answer Congressman Big Horse's question, yeah, there was a congressional building in those plans. I believe that plan has been poked holes in and is out the window.
Congressman Big Horse,
is there any way to modify the master campus plan since it's already been, sounds like, modified a number of times to move the congressional chambers up to the next project?
And thank you, Congressman Big Horse. I always thought, my opinion was, this was temporary, just for us, because of the discovery of the black mold and that we found in the old congressional chambers. I've heard talk of demolishing that building and building a new building. I've heard the phase three plan, but I'd always heard that this was temporary. Now, we go back to, if this is great equipment, that's a big word for me, but if it can function, but we struggle down here because of the reasons that you mentioned. So in the temporary, I would never want to spend $40,000, but we have to at least look at maybe someone that could come in and do something to get us by or improve what we have here, because what we have is not working. As you can see, when we've had, this is the second meeting I've had where people have tried to call in on the phones, and it's a huge distraction. And, you know, we all try to stay focused here, and when there's distractions and squeaking and what do they call it, feedback and noise, I can't focus. And so I still want to call the gentleman and ask him what he can do, if he can help us and improve us and get us maybe something a little better. But good points and good discussion about where are we going to end up? Where are we going to be? I mean, we're the Congress of the Osage Nation, and here we are in a temporary building, which I hope someday we start turning into an economic development location because of the cash cows that are around the town here. Have you all been up to phase one and walked through there? And there's conference rooms up there. Mm-hmm. There's outdoor patios. There's, you know, there's things that could be temporary still. And then hopefully somebody do something with this. And even though the construction, those things need to be done anyway. There's all kinds of ideas floating around. Did you have your hand up?
I did have my hand up.
Congresswoman Wideman.
I think a great place to start would be a message or maybe even a consensus that this committee could reach. I'd like to hear from each one of you. Do you guys on congressional affairs view this as Congress's permanent home? Anybody at the table?
I certainly hope not.
Okay.
No.
Congressman
Mason? No.
No.
I have a question.
Congresswoman Pratt.
So, permanent. What's up with the fourth floor? A lot of money that was appropriated with that. With that, I thought when that big amount of money was appropriated, it was for the fourth floor to be our basically permanent home. Permanent meaning we knew we were years down the line for a new building because. Like I said, that building up there, it still continues to have problems. It needs to be just completely torn down and rebuilt. So, and there was a little bit of a couple of things coming out of the executive branch because due to a lack of money for everything that we want, then it was, I think, between the chief and assistant chief, I don't think the assistant chief was ever just thrilled about us being here. And then the chief stated that he was in agreement to letting us be here because we have the clinic and other needs that money needs to go towards. So we realized that we weren't going to have money for a big brand new building to hold. BIA and minerals and Congress and everything. So I guess I would say that, yeah, considering the fact that all this renovation was going to take place and we were moving up to the fourth floor, the problem was, what is the chambers? That's why this is going to be the chambers, because if we go up there, there's offices, but it's not really a chambers. So this is going to be the chambers. So it's all, but I'm hearing a lot of people. Now, I don't really love that study that was done. I can't remember exactly what it's called.
Best Use?
I mean, we paid a lot of money for that too. And I think that what we got out of it, to me and my reading, is we all could have sat right here and said, everybody throw in the hat what we should do with this place. Every one of us put it in a hat. And then we just pull it out and read it. And I mean, that's kind of what I feel like we got out of that. Like, hell, every one of us have said every one of those things and we could have come up with that. So I don't know.
And not to interrupt you, but what was their first recommendation?
Then it was.
On the study?
I think it was a casino.
Hotel.
Casino. Hotel, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was put out in the paper. So I don't understand that either.
Mm-hmm. Good points. Congressman Potts, then Congresswoman Stabler.
Congressman Tillman, I wholeheartedly agree. There's a line right across the street right now. It would be great to have some cash-producing industry right here. But the reality is, this building wouldn't have lights in it. We owned this building for 2 years before the Congress temporarily moved down here. And it wouldn't have lights in it. Today, you've got a hole in the wall with fecal matter draining down from the third floor that hasn't been fixed by this government. and we're going to turn it into a hotel. This is the problem that we're facing. It's where does this Congress go? Where are we going to be? If it's up on the hill, we need to get out of here and we need to turn it into something else. And I don't think we have an answer to that question.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Okay, I'm the newbie, so you know, you're going to have to give me that little bit of grace. But a little reality here, there is literally no space in this town. You are talking about new construction, whatever we're talking about. And you're looking at a minimum of 2 years to complete a construction if you started it today. So I think you have to, or we have to realize that we're going to have to do something here before we can move on. And that sometimes that's the path you take. You have to take steps toward it. So knowing that eventually there will be a congressional house up on the hill, that would be wonderful to look forward to. In the meantime, in order to start making this building productive, because I agree, this is a little gold mine that we're interrupting. I went up to the fourth floor. I think the fourth floor is adequate. I think it needs a full gut and a reconstruction, and it can achieve what we need it to achieve, including a gallery. I think that would open up space next door, this completed space next door for the staff. The staff could move up with us, and then you've got an OFPR office next door. You've still got two floors of offices that are going on here in the nation's business. So in the next phase, something has to be done to take care of those offices before you can complete economic development here. You could do something small on this first floor, but I think there's steps can be made. So the investment is going to have to go in this building, whether we stay or we go or economic development comes or it goes. It's not wasted dollars, I guess is what I'm saying, because that fourth floor can become the administrative offices for whatever economic development goes on these three floors. I don't think it's wasted dollars to renovate the fourth floor with future plans to move elsewhere. My two cents.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Congressman Potts.
I hear you. As a newbie on Congress, a decision needs to be made. If I recall correctly, the initial plan was to utilize funds to renovate the fourth floor, turn that into congressional offices. I don't believe the original plan was to have a gallery there or to have a chambers. But have congressional offices up there. This was to be temporarily renovated, and then the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review would move in there. You would have congressional offices on the fourth floor, and this be the chamber or a mixed use. You could bring something in here and have an event on a Friday night. You could have a party that is overflow. You could do something with it. I believe that was the original plan. In that vein, the previous Congressional Affairs Committee named this building. Keystone Mines, Capitol building. This is it. This is the building. So we're in a case now where this is the Capitol building for the Osage Nation, named by the Osage Nation Congress, and we're not here. It's not home. Mm-hmm. Something's got to be done. I'm with you,
Congresswoman Pratt.
Well, I just want to say, it's moved around a little because also when this was going to, because everybody's like, oh my God, you're going to gut this? Yeah, we were. Because we were going to make this a big chambers for us and the Minerals Council, because the Minerals Council was going in this drugstore original plan. So it's all over. And so when the question was asked, well, do I think this was our permanent for a while? You know, like you said, I mean, because was it $400,000 or something like that for the fourth floor?
It's about $1 million total for renovation.
It's up there, so, and I understand it, because it goes into this, and we stay here for quite a while, or we have several million dollars to go to a new building.
Congressman, did you have your hand up? Congressman, so?
No, I disagree on one point, and that is, I think there is room for a gallery up there. I really do feel like we could accommodate it for a temporary space for less than 5 years to make it work. When I've been to board meetings at the state and stuff, the galleries that they use are not that big. Our court is not that big. It wouldn't take up that much space. And smaller offices.
One thing you have to consider is, and it's been brought up before, occasionally we have standing room only crowds when we were back up in the old congressional chambers, and here it's kind of limited to what we had. It's small, but we do have sometimes meetings that go on, and we'll have 100 people, 200 people show up. Couldn't even accommodate them up there, and I don't think that would ever happen up on the fourth floor. Congressman Big Horse.
Mr. Chair, is there not already a boardroom up there from the bankers?
Not that I'm aware of. Congressman?
Not on the fourth floor.
On the third floor?
There is a conference room that has been created by the Office of Historic Preservation, I believe. And if I may, Congressman Stabler, I agree. I've been in those meetings at the state capitol. You can renovate a small room and make it work. The immediate issue is, with that, public access to a restroom and access to get there. You've had an elevator out here that hasn't been inspected in not how long. The last time I saw that it had been inspected, it had a signature of Mark Costello, who was murdered 4 or 5 years ago as your labor commissioner. You've got an elevator that an elected member of the Minerals Council got stuck in 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And we're now going to say, hey, let's send the public up there.
Handicap access.
But there are 15 offices, one for each member of Congress and one for each member of staff. It's perfect. Something's got to be done. And we've got to figure this out at this table. That's why we're talking about it.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yeah, I just want to say, I agree with Congressman Tillman in this regard, is that this floor needs to start going toward economic development. If we're going to do something, this is a great spot to do it in. And so that's why I was trying to juggle that. I think that we could manage up there for some temporary space. And I also want to say too, you know, as a comparison, the family room out at the Pawhuska Village easily seats 160 people in its core, and it's not that big. You know, there's room there. So if we could figure out an escalator or something to get people there. You know, I just think that plans need to be established.
Thank you. It's the fourth floor, it's a four-floor story building, or five?
Four.
That's where the penthouses are going to be. And with rooftop dining.
See.
And shopping. And mm-hmm. Bar and grill. I'm sorry. it is a problem. It's a good discussion, and I appreciate the committee input. But back to speakers, audio and visual, good point from Congresswoman Pratt. Is this our permanent home? Is it not? I never thought it was going to be permanent, but we are the Congress, and we need to find a location. The old OFPR, I'm just throwing that out there. Whatever happened to that place? We rented that, correct?
Yeah, it was rented. Yeah.
And it's gone now. Somebody else has moved in there. But and then you think about up on the hill what they have right now. They do have a chamber in there where you could sit, but we don't have offices. You know, it'd be difficult to function in there. And then does the air conditioner work half the time, and the heater ever could blow out, and you got those issues. And brand new buildings, phase one. And disappointing. Anybody else?
Just comment.
Yes, sir.
Back when I was assistant chief and Congress was looking, and I know Congresswoman Edwards was very animate about sticking monies back for this master campus plan, but I recall it was put on the agenda and there was some shenanigans going on because there were six people for it and five people, no, it's just the opposite. There was five people for it, six against it. So they was going to put it on that agenda and they were going to vote it down. And someone didn't show up. So that tied it up 5-5. And I broke that tie in favor of building those buildings because I heard Congress back and forth saying, we need to put money back. We need to start on the master campus plan. We need to do this. We need to do that. So my question is the master campus plan, is it dead? Because I keep hearing that it's 99.5% complete.
Good. Good questions, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I think that we're talking about two different plans. The 25-year strategic plan and the master plan for the campus are two different plans.
Correct.
So, so the master campus plan, we supposedly entered into phase one, and I don't think we got all the buildings that were really in phase one. And maybe some of the departments were changed around from the initial plan that went into the new two new facilities. So we didn't get everything that was in phase one there. And Congressman Mason was correct in the campus master plan. Phase three would have had new congressional chambers, offices, minerals council offices constructed. So we're kind of getting the two plans interwoven there. So there's been no funding asked to move forward on any more campus buildings. That I have not heard that discussion since completion of the two buildings that we have up there right now. Financially, we cashed in the CD that we had pledged as collateral on one of the notes. The way we got that built up there is we took $13 million out of return revenue in the Treasury and used $13 million, authorized the executive to get $10 million worth of financing, $5 million collateralized, $5 million uncollateralized. And we've cashed in that CD that we collateralized that $5 million with. So, so in my view, and looking at the dollars here, there's not money right now, unless you want to scrape into the permanent fund, and I don't think anybody wants to. So, therefore, nobody's having that discussion because the funding's, we realize how tight our funding is for building projects these days.
Congressman Big Horse.
And I understand, I know where we are financially, and, mm-hmm. and I know that we cannot go to construction, but I'm still trying to figure out what was going on back then when we did have funding. And you know, everybody around here is too new to know, so I guess I'm beating a dead horse to death.
Well, I guess I don't understand the question then, Congressman. What question are you?
We were moving forward with the campus plan.
Right.
Okay. There was I don't know what was going on, but there was some for it, half against it, and they had planned it on a day to where they were going to vote it down. But yet that was the will of the people. They wanted new offices. They wanted to quit going into these little places down here. They wanted the central area to go to. I kept hearing that.
Right. So what happened is the Congress financed phase one, and we don't know where phase two is.
So, and then the discussions just dropped after that.
The campus master plan was planned out by the executive branch and then brought to Congress for financing. We didn't have the authority to do the planning. The planning was done in the executive branch, and then the financing was asked for through Congress.
Yeah, it was in the first administration was when it was planned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try to move on the time, and I think we're past the noon hour. We have an appropriations committee meeting coming up at 1. I know the staff has got to do some lunch. Congressman Potts.
We can beat a dead horse all day long.
Yeah.
I believe the new plan now is a health clinic on the Hill, is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's officially not been communicated to the Congress.
I don't think there is a plan.
I think we are hoping at best if we believe that there's a plan. I believe this body has to decide where we are going to conduct the business of the nation. And the next step is how do we adequately provide communicative equipment so that the public can be more informed, so that the public can hold us accountable better. So that when we say, hey, we're going to have a central location for the people to come and visit with their elected officials and hold us accountable, they have that, they're able to know about it because they can hear it, and then they can go there and hold us accountable. That's what we're supposed to do, and we are not doing that.
Okay. I want to wrap this up. The legislative chambers and reading and good discussion, and thank you, committee, for, and we'll put it again on the next CA meeting, and we'll discuss about, you know, where we're going to be and what, you know, what we can do. But I will call and see if there's anything we can do better. Maybe if it's the connections, if it's, I think it has to be somebody out of Coleman City. I don't know. Here we go. Yes.
My question is, who are you going to call? Because I think is there not people in Tulsa or something?
Somebody closer. That's 2.5 hours away. Tulsa's, it might be somebody in Bartlesville.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look into it. I was reading through and going over with the girls and kind of my duties as second speaker. I don't want to go through them, but really it's managing what goes on in this room, these chambers, these offices. And some changes that I want to talk about, you know, as far as the Congress goes. One is the starting on time. If we have a meeting at 10, if we have a meeting at 9, start the meeting at 9, start the meeting at 10. Let's do the best that we can to hold true to that, because as we're sitting here now, we've got another meeting starting at 1. And I'd like to break to for some people to be able to have the opportunity to have a little bit of lunch. So that's a big thing that we're talking about here. One other thing that I want to put a stop to, and I've been guilty of it as well, but I was kind of surprised the first time I saw it, is food at this table. And I've talked to some people, and they're like, I can't believe you guys are eating when you're at that table. That's what those tables in that room back there are for. I've seen people put food in their mouth and talk, and it's flying out of their mouth, and it's crinkling and it's crackling. And I know we have people that need to have something at some times. Just ask for a break, take 5 minutes if we have to have that done. But this is not a place to eat. This is a place to conduct business, in my opinion. So I want to put a stop to any kind of cashew nuts, pistachios, crackers, things of that sort. Beverages are fine. Whatever that we need here, but this is not a place to eat. This is a place to conduct business of the Osage Nation, and that's in my opinion. We had talked about how are we going to go forward, bottled water, the pitchers. There's just not enough room for pitchers anymore, and this is just housekeeping stuff that we're going over. But I do remember the pitchers of water and the ice. You could hear it clink, 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 and all this and that. So decided to go with bottled water. Cell phones at the tables, I think we tried to pass that into some rules. Don't think it passed. But, you know, it's a distraction to me. And I know it's a communication device, but when people are on their cell phones during a meeting, are you hearing what's going on? Or are you right here talking to somebody off base? And if we're in a committee meeting, it absolutely has to be necessary. I've told my daughter, I said, I'm going to be in a meeting for 2 hours. I can't respond to you. But we need to work on that and be very aware that somebody may be saying something critically important. And if you're texting or social media and you're not hearing what's going on. And we need to hear what's going on when we're at these tables talking about the business of the nation. So let's be very aware of our cell phone use. The other thing was mailboxes. We're going to get rid of out here the mailboxes. I'll get to you here in a minute. And want to put individual mailboxes around the offices. One thing that sometimes there's important information, and we've discussed this, anybody can open this back door and come in. Anybody off the street. We've had tourists walk back through here. And if they, you don't know how people are. They see something in that mailbox, hey, take me something, you know? And that could be a critical piece of information. We talked about there was a fire
alarm.
There was a fire alarm that went off the other evening about a week ago.
About 2 weeks ago.
And there's staff members up here, executive branch employees, that have keys to our front door and can come in here anytime they want. They get a key. And they came down here to meet the fire marshal,
well,
or whoever it was, But this is Congress. This is us. This is where we are. And if they up there have keys to our front door, can come in here, that's wrong. That is not right. And that leads me to the other point. In the past, we've allowed anybody and everybody to go back here behind these cages. That's unacceptable to me. We have confidential documents laying around all over the place back there. And I witnessed it the other day when I was here. An employee came in, just walked through that door, walked back there, looking around. That's our business. It's no one else's business. That's ours. So we need to tighten up, ratchet up who we let back there. And it should be just us. That right there is the second speaker's office, and it's limited to staff and second speaker. We've talked about if you have to go around, go to one of the cages or go around this way. And I'd like to keep that door closed because constituents, other people just walk right through there and they just go. So we need to really start looking at the professionalism, the personal information, what we talk about, locking these doors, who's got access to be able to get in here. But as a second speaker role, that's how I read it, and I've gone over it with some other members of Congress and the staff. So that's what I was appointed to do, so I'm going to try to do my best with it. The other thing was, what does our personnel, what does our staff do? What are their responsibilities? And especially during session, and I know they get extremely busy, and we just rush up to them and say, I got to have this now. Well, they're doing three other things that someone else had to have right now. And it puts a burden on them, and what it does, it lets them do a job that's halfway. We need the completion of a task that they're responsible for, but we need to be very clear on what their roles are. But we also know how hectic it can get here. So that needs to be discussed and talked about. And then the other thing is within meetings, raise your hand and be recognized. Just don't start, and I've seen that happen a lot, but you lose the professionalism of what Robert's Rules of Orders are, what the congressional rules are, and we break them all the time. And so if you're going to be recognized, raise your hand at the speaker, identify you, and then you can speak, and then you can talk. So those are some of the things, the second speaker, that I've looked at and that I want to start accomplishing here as we go forward. So, Congresswoman Pratt, you've had your hand up.
Okay, so you said you've had this conversation, or you said the girls. Who are the girls?
Right here.
Okay, the staff.
Yes.
Okay, so I think that, and then some of these things that are mentioned, is that for this committee, or is that going to be a rule that you're going to try to enforce to all the other committee chairs? Mm-hmm. So that you're going to propose this as rule amendments? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then also in talking about the role of the staff, I think Congressmembers need to have the ability to weigh in a lot of times on these things because you said a couple of things. We're the Congress. We are the Congress, not the staff. The staff is not the Congress. And I think that often they overstep their bounds. I also think that part of their role is not to shake their head and weigh in whether they disagree or agree. And I've even said that to the clerk of Congress, that I would ask her to be seated elsewhere, like the Minerals Council does, if they can't refrain from shaking their head yes and no when the assistant chief is speaking and whatnot, because they are not the Congress, they are the congressional staff. So I think that the Congress needs to be spoken to about these things. And I appreciate their feedback because they are here often, but I think they often overstep their bounds. And I mentioned this to you last week. So I don't think that a non-Osage, we have an Osage staff member and we have a non-Osage staff member. And I think it's probably hard for the Osage staff member to not weigh in on certain things, but she doesn't. And so I don't think that it's their job. I think they're there to staff, be staff and supportive, that they don't need to shake their head yes or no whether they agree with something or not. And I think that they need to weigh in if they're asked by a Congress member, that otherwise they shouldn't.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. Anyone, Congressman Mason?
Since we're a couple of things. Question, what about the sergeant at arms? Do we have somebody lined up for that?
Lou Bond.
Okay, Lou.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's done. The next one I wanted to bring up is something I mentioned to you before, and that is, it may not be your position, it might be the speaker's position, is to grant an excused absence from one of the members. And that member would be a member of the Congressional Affairs Committee, can be established or sent to represent all of us to a gaming meeting, because sometimes gaming has their meeting scheduled the same time we do.
Yes, sir.
And then we get word that Congress doesn't show up for our meetings. And I think gaming is very, very important to this nation. And the Congressional Affairs Committee, if they could delegate one person to represent not only them, but all of us, and then that person be excused, if you will, or delegated to attend that meeting, they would be absent from the table, but yet they would be able to represent and report back to us what's going on in gaming today. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of things are happening, but gaming is our bread and butter. And if we don't know what's going on over in gaming,
yes, sir,
then that affects all of us, because we're talking about buildings and stuff. You got to have money to build a building, and it's not there.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's a lot of things have happened since that first 25-year plan. That was, you know, we didn't buying a ranch and buying a buffalo ranch wasn't in there. That kind of stuff. And that was a big bucks. And same way with the Tulsa Casino. That wasn't in there in 2006. That was out there. But now it is. And the same thing about this building is like, who owns this building? Are we in the role as Congress to say, we claim this fourth floor is ours and we're going to put money in it, or down here, or there's executive or somebody said, no, this belongs to the nation as a whole, therefore we have a role in where we're going to place you guys in Congress. And that's kind of what happened. We couldn't stay up there on the hill. We had to find a new home. It wasn't necessarily us finding a new home. Somebody placed us over here. And here we are in a temporary headquarters.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. That's just my question. And we're the Congress. Can we say, okay, this, we get the bottom floor and we get the fourth floor and we get a new, yeah. Or who else has a role in that decision of what happens in this building? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. So
good point.
A couple of things. And like I said, whether or not it's a rule that we put in there to have the speaker excuse somebody to go to a gaming meeting or whatever, might be another LLC or somebody, Bluestem important meeting. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out as an opinion, and I would think it would be advantageous to us as a Congress, since gaming is such an important meeting, that we have somebody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I agree. I think there needs to be a congressional member at all the board's meetings. I know Speaker Pratt, and she's Congresswoman Pratt, attended a lot of meetings, and I know Congresswoman Whitehorn still continues to attend those meetings, and you can see in their minutes reflected who was there.
Yes,
and and that's a good job. But I agree, we always need to be there. And you're right. We don't have gaming, we don't have anything. Sad. I mean, it's a great thing we have it, but we've done nothing economic development wise. Congressman Plotin, let's try to wrap.
I'm going to try to kill item number 12 and 13. I'd make a motion to have to direct the second speaker to meet with the executive officials to determine any alternative meeting and office location, or any potential alternative meeting and office location for the Osage Nation Congress.
Second on the floor. The motion on the floor. Motion and a second. Discussion. I don't have any problem at all doing that. Who would that be?
In my opinion, well, no. I mean, executive officials, you're looking at chief, assistant chief, whoever you feel you need to talk to.
Okay.
But with the, and the reason for the motion, if there's a better plan, let's hear it. Mm-hmm. If this isn't good enough, show us where to go. And I mean, the intent is, I would like a report back before the next Congressional Affairs meeting.
Sounds good.
Because if there is no potential alternative, this is it.
Let's mic it up.
I mean, that's the reality. And if the answer is go to the fourth floor, then let's start on the fourth floor.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Motion passes. I had a motion and a second. Dan, did you cover that? Thank you. Seeing how it's late, seeing how we got a meeting, we have one other item to discuss, but it is also discussion of the Nolan case. And it's also on the agenda for the meeting at 1 o'clock with appropriations. So I will dismiss that number on the agenda and we'll just
put it's not on my agenda, but I can amend my agenda. And
okay, sounds good. So Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Motion and a second. Thank you. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
21.